asked for the privilege to do something just a little bit different today rather than preaching from the Word of God. But I do pray that you will be encouraged. Possibly the Holy Spirit will challenge you. But most of all, our thoughts will be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to read a couple of verses for you. I'd ask you not to turn to them. In Psalm 29, verse 4, it says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful." And what I'd like to do the rest of this meeting is just to demonstrate to you certain circumstances, mainly through the salvation of people, where God's word has been proven true. The voice of the Lord is powerful. We also read in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just want to share with you very quickly some aspects of my own Christian life. In 1978, through the working of the Holy Spirit and a very special friend of mine who is now in heaven, I came under real conviction of sin in my life, and I sensed a call to totally surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the beginning of the Christian path. It is coming to a place where I see myself as sinful. Without Jesus, there is no hope. And my willingness to surrender to his ways. The Bible tells us that there's two messages that we preach. We preach that of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately after getting saved, the Holy Spirit began to convict me of different sins. And I call it a call to sanctification. If you are sitting in my audience and you claim to be saved and God has never changed your life, you ought to reconsider your salvation. I don't believe there's salvation for anyone unless there's a genuine willingness to repent. And in simplicity, that is bowing to the will of God. It's bowing to the will of God. Not long after I was saved, I started sharing the gospel immediately in my neighborhood all around me. One day I was at the back pasture rolling up some old barbed wire. I had bought a horse, and I was living my dream life. I had 50 acres of land, owned my own home, owned my own business. And as I was rolling up this old barbed wire and going to put out new wire to keep in my horses, the Holy Spirit brought a conviction to me. One day somebody will roll up your wire. That wire had been stretched and used for farming for years. And the Lord spoke to me that day, what better things could I be doing with my life? And it was a call to surrounding area. Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I started to go up and down the road that we lived on, witnessing and sharing to people. And then I had a fellow come to our house. We were attending a Bible chapel in the town where we lived. We had a fellow come to our house, and he was going up to a native reserve up in James Bay, way up north in Canada, where he had been there a number of times. And the first week in January, every January, the first week in January, they hold a series of gospel meetings. In northern Canada, it's the highest rate of suicide continually. Christmas is over, the bills are coming in, the days are dark, what is there to live for? When I went up to visit in that area with my friend, I was not a pulpit person at the time, and probably not a pulpit person at the time. I love sitting at someone's kitchen table, leading them to Jesus Christ. But when meeting was over on a Tuesday night, we all went back to a little house for a time of fellowship. And in that house, there were so many men, it was standing room only. And a guy was standing beside me. He reached up on the wall and he took the fire alarm off the wall. And he said, "It's not fair. You have one and I don't." And I said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is James, James Cheethel." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, Joe spoke tonight about the Lord coming, and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and dwelt by the Holy Spirit are going to go. He said, you're going to go, and I'm going to be left behind." So we went into the bedroom, and about an hour later, after going through a number of scriptures, James gave his life to Jesus Christ. This man had been an alcoholic all his life. His testimony was this, that before the week of gospel meetings, him and his wife were in a massive fight. And she said to him, I'll change the wording here a little bit, "What you need to do is go over to those gospel meetings and get saved." And he said, "Well, if you go, I'll go." So they went together. Joe got saved. Mary didn't. A month later, I led Mary to the Lord because they had asked me to draw blueprints for their building, and they'd asked me also to go and build the building for them. This was back in 1984. Mary got saved. The two of them to this day have not touched alcohol. They're walking in the love and in the fear of the Lord. And I call that, it was a call to a greater area. I'd only worked in my own little area. I wasn't any place else to see what the Lord was doing. And there I was among a group of Native Indian people, and many of them were saved. We built a building that held 120 people. They thought that would be adequate. There were 40 people in the older building, a very small building started by a missionary. That building was full, so they planned for three times as big. The first night we opened the building, it was full. 120 people. There were people come who were not saved. When I went back home from that expedition to the north, God was speaking to myself and to my wife about a call to greater service, to give up the business and to go into full-time work. Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 10. Now, I need to ask a question. Am I too loud?
No.
No? My wife is smiling, and that means maybe. I have new hearing aids, and I'm trying to get used to them, but If I'm loud, I just want you to hear. Luke chapter 10. And I want to read. Sorry, I got the wrong reference. We'll just leave that. Basically, I was going to read the passage where Jesus said, if anyone leaves father and mother, sister and brother, that I will give these to you. And so it was a call to service in a greater area. My wife and I moved 500 miles after we were commended in full-time work. Northern Ontario is not the nicest place to live, but God had called us there, and as the word was preached, again, we saw souls saved. And I just want to go through some of these people who responded to God's word, other than James and Mary. We talked this morning about what is the right way to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would dare to say, as our faces differ, so do our needs differ. There's many, many different approaches to bring the gospel to people. year later, I returned to this same native reserve, and I said to my friend James, who had been saved, James, is there anyone in the community that we could go and visit with them in their home? Someone that you know is interested in the Lord. And he said, oh yeah, he said, I have a friend named James. And he says, he has come to every meeting since the church opened. I said, is he saved? He said, I don't know. Now, there were many Christians in that church. And I think it's wrong if someone comes into our midst that many times and we don't know if they trusted Christ as their Savior. Anyway, my friend phoned and made arrangements. When he phoned, this man was going out to cut firewood. Now, because these people in times past were nomadic, they don't cut firewood until you need it. So it's like 40 below, and I got to put the last stick in the stove before I go cut more. That was this man's situation. And the phone rings. He's already gone out the door. His wife answers the phone, and James said, is James home? And his wife said, why? And he said, well, I have a preacher here that wants to come and talk to him. Well, just a minute, I'll go get him. She ran out and caught him before he took off on the snow machine. He came back in, we come over, we sat down on the couch, and I started to go through the gospel with him. He said, I know that, I believe that, I know that, I believe that, I know that, I believe that. And I said to him, I said, James, why don't you get saved? He got up off the couch, turned around, got down on his knees, and he began to pray and pray. Trusted the Lord as a Savior. The voice of the Lord is powerful. I don't know if anyone here has ever been under the grips of alcoholism, but this is the main plight of those people there. And for them to get saved and to turn away from that is a major work of the Lord, major work of God. When we had moved to the little town where we were in Northern Ontario, I believe it was possibly the first time that I spoke in that little chapel, very small chapel. And there was a young man walked in and he sat right down on the front row. Leather jacket, tattoos, long hair, and the aroma of marijuana on him. And I began to preach the word of God, and this young man got under conviction. And I said at the end of the message, there's three reasons possibly why you should get saved tonight if you know you need to be saved. Number one, I said the Lord could come, and if your plan is to get saved tomorrow, you've missed it. You've missed the rapture. I said number two, you don't know how long you have. You could die in your sleep tonight. And I said number three, if you get saved tonight, you have the rest of your life to share the gospel with those who are not saved. That young man started weeping. I mean, he is weeping like someone at a funeral. And unknown to me, he had held in his arms his girlfriend who died on an overdose of drugs. He knew the gospel, had never received the gospel, and was under conviction, if I had received Jesus the last time I was home, I could have shared the gospel with her. I think it was around 2 a.m. in the morning that Sean got saved. Sean's a missionary today in Belize. He's been a missionary in Guatemala, loves the Lord, and has led many people to Jesus Christ. The voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. I returned to my commending assembly one time for a week of gospel meetings, and I could tell in the audience a couple of people that were under conviction. One was my stepfather, and another was a German lady. And the German lady testified recently at a ladies' meeting of getting saved, hearing the messages, and hearing my testimony at our commending assembly. Her husband is saved as well. Just praise God. Praise God for the voice of the Lord. To preach the word, to have the word come into people's hearts to bring conviction of sin and then to bring salvation. When I went back up north, there was a couple that started to come to our meeting. I was asked to share at a meeting. We had a schedule worked out for the assembly. Generally, I spoke once at the assembly a month, and then I traveled to six other assemblies in the area, preaching the gospel and ministering the word. I preached one night on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That week, for whatever reason, I was canceled at another meeting, and one of the elders at our own meeting phoned me and said, "Garnet, our speaker has been canceled. Is there any way you can come and preach?" Listen, I spoke three times on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And after the third time, this couple invited us over to their place on Monday night for supper. We had a beautiful meal. The lady got up immediately, cleared off all the dishes, brought the Bible over and says, "Now tell us how to get saved." By God's grace, Paul and Muriel were saved that night. It wasn't too long after that that two of their children, it's interesting, it was the two youngest children in the family, wanted to get saved. They came over to our house. We had a little visit with them. And then I talked to them about the Lord, about conviction of sin. And they told me the sin that was bothering them in their life. And the little girl, she was all upset. She'd been stealing cookies. And the Holy Spirit brought her into conviction that it was wrong to steal cookies. And she desired to get saved. Her brother got saved. A number of years ago, my son was best man at this man's wedding, and the fellow that was getting married said to my son, "This is the second best day of my life." And my son said, "What was the best day of your life?" And he said, "The day your dad led me to Jesus Christ." Amen. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Right around the same time, one evening when I was putting my children to bed and we were saying prayers together, in my prayer, I basically said this to the Lord. "Lord, I have a number of brothers and sisters and I'm not sure that they know the gospel. If you wish and if you choose, would you take one of us so that they could hear the gospel?" A few weeks later, I got a phone call from Western Canada. I hadn't seen my brother in 5 or 6 years. And he was weeping on the phone. And he said, "Garnet, my daughter was killed in a car crash. Would you take the funeral?" 5 years old, hadn't started school yet. Someone went through a stop sign and the little girl was killed immediately in the car. I asked my brother, I said, "Don, why did you ask me if I would take the funeral?" And he said, "They tell me you're a born-again Christian now." I hadn't seen him since I had gotten saved. And I said, "What do you want me to share at the funeral?" He said, "I want to know where my little girl is, and I want to know how to get there." And I had the liberty to share the gospel with all of my family at that funeral, except for one sister who wasn't there. And we'll finish her story later. My sister-in-law said to her daughter, "That's the first time I ever understood what Jesus did, what Jesus means." God answers prayer. Our brother was calling you to come and to pray and to remember and to enter into those things. I know Tom and Shirley have prayed for a couple in Ireland who are now saved and going on for the Lord. The first man that we've had in 20 years who has the potential of being an elder in the assembly. He has that heart of care for the people and a tremendous hunger for the Word of God. But we'll get to his story later as well. With my brother's situation, when we went to do the funeral, he found out that his wife's family had made arrangements for a speaker and for the funeral. And I said, listen, no problem. We don't want to cause any problems here. I'm happy to come and listen. So we drove 500 miles, come to my brother's house, and he said, I'd at least like you to go down and meet the local minister here. So we went down, sat in a little room, and we met this man. He was in a church where normally you would not preach the gospel, and that was a concern to me. And he said to me when we went in, I told him I was a born-again Christian, he said, well, listen, would you take the service? He said, I have a daughter the same age as Fallon, and he said, I don't think I can do this funeral. And he told us that he also was a born-again Christian. He said, I'm in trouble when I preach here. But he said, I do know the Lord, and I do love the Lord. God worked that circumstance out without any probes or probs on our part. God allowed me to preach the gospel to my family. When we moved to Ireland, I would say probably about 5-6 years ago, I got a phone call. A woman in distress. I went to the lady's house where she was staying. The lady in the house had been coming to our meeting but wasn't a Christian. And when I spoke to them, there had been physical abuse in the relationship. And as I talked with them, I shared the gospel with them, and I had a word of prayer with them. And this girl named Tara started to come to our meetings. And sitting under the sound of the gospel probably for about 3 months before she got saved. And one of the songs she said that really spoke to her heart was Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Tara got gloriously saved out of a life of immorality, drugs and drunkenness, never went back to any of it. Finally met a young man from Indiana. They're married now. We're going over this week to see them. They've just had their second child. But the last day that Tara was teaching Sunday school, one of the students in her class persisted and persisted and persisted in questions on salvation. And finally the little girl said to Tara, well, can I get saved today, here, right now? And Tara said, yes, no problem. She prayed and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. As this little girl went out into the hallway after Sunday school was finished, her mother was in the hallway, and she ran and she jumped up on her mummy, and she said, oh, mummy, I just got saved. I just got saved. Now, the mother wasn't saved at that time. The father was. A couple of her sisters were saved at that time. After the mother got saved, I said to Yulia, thinking back through all that you have observed, what spoke to you the most about getting saved? And she said, oh, Garnet, one of the things, when Maria came out of that room, she said, the glow on her face and the expression in her eyes, she said, I knew at that moment, this is real. I too need to get saved. Some of you here would know the names, Roman and Yulia. You prayed for them, I assume, on Wednesday nights. The oldest daughter was the first one to get saved after her father. Her father's testimony is quite extensive. I'll just tell you a little part of it. He thought, if I go to Israel, that's the land of Jesus. And they said, surely I would find out there how to get to know God. And when he went there, he was totally disappointed in the ungodliness of the people around him and the partying and the alcohol and everything else. But he opened the drawer on the nightstand and there was a Russian Bible. And that's his native language. He's from Ukraine. He stole the Bible, took it home. But he didn't read it. They were in major marital problems, discussing who would take the kids and which kids would go with which parent. And his wife went back to Ukraine for summer holidays with the kids. And Roman really got under conviction about sin in his life. And he opened up this Russian Bible. He was totally hungover. His head was aching. And guess what the first passage was that he read in the Bible? I think it's Proverbs chapter 20. Who has red eyes? Who? And there's about 10 verses there, all on the effects of drunkenness. And as he read down through that, he kept saying, "That's me, that's me, that's me." And he ended up getting saved. He had been witnessed to a little bit by a fellow who was coming to our meeting. And this man had gotten saved. And one of the things that they did in the plant was they always played jokes on each other. Not necessarily nice jokes. And they would stand when all the people were coming in and they'd pick us someone out and say, "Well, let's get him today." And Roman said to his friend, "Let's get him today." And the fellow says, "No, I don't do that anymore. I'm a Christian." And so Roman said, "Well, are there Christians in Charleville?" "Yeah." "Well, where do they meet?" "Well, they meet on Wednesday in someone's home, and they meet on Sunday in a rented school." "Oh, well," Roman said, "I want to go." And it was Wednesday, and the fellow said, "Well, the meeting's not very interesting on Wednesday night." He said, "Perhaps you should go on Sunday." And Roman says, "No, you don't understand. I have to go now." And he came to the meeting on that Wednesday night. And by God's grace, this man has never neglected a meeting since then. That's 4 years ago. His wife, who was ready to leave him and live separate, they worked at the same plant. She's going to work when he gets off, but she's only there 3 hours. She does cleaning all through the offices and everything. And Roman would work a 12-hour day. And he would say to himself, I'm going to stay and help her. How many here have seen the film Fireproof? Have you seen that? Roman said, "I'm going to do what that man did in the film. I'm going to love her to Jesus Christ." And so when it comes time for the cleaning job, Roman says to Yulia, "Listen, leave the toilets. I'll get the toilets for you." She didn't know what was going on. This man was so different, so changed. And eventually, her oldest daughter, who was saved, spoke to her mother one day about the reality of hell and the severity of hell. And she asked her mom point blank, "Mom, is that where you want to spend eternity?" And Yuli got saved that evening. Around the same period of time, I had a sister in Canada. This is encouragement, I believe, for anybody that teaches Sunday school, that when you plant a garden, every seed that you plant, every different seed that you plant, every different variety of seed that you plant, has a different germination time. You can plant radishes, carrots, corn, potatoes, and they don't all come up the same day. My two sisters, unknown to me until later in life, both went to Sunday school at a little gospel hall. Heard the gospel loud and clear. Both of them married unsaved men. They were unsaved themselves. But 3 years before my sister died, in 2011, I led my sister to Jesus Christ. Unknown to her and me, we didn't realize that at that time she didn't have very long to live. My other sister, who would have went to the same Sunday school, had cancer. And she fought the battle of cancer for 3 years, and both of them, within 3 months of each other, died. But 5 weeks before my second sister died, I led her to the Lord. The voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. Those girls had known the gospel message for 60 years. What I'm trying to share with you is, don't give up. Share the word. The first time when I realized that my one sister had cancer, when we went back, I went to her house and I wanted to share the gospel with her. I don't want nothing to do with it. We went back to Ireland. We prayed pretty much every Wednesday night. Lord, soften Barbara's heart. Lord, soften Barbara's heart. When I went back the year that she got saved, I said to Gwen, I'm going to go and visit Barb, and I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm not going to pussyfoot around. There's not much time left, and she needs salvation. I went in. She couldn't talk now. All she could do was whisper. And I said to her, Barb, would you like a Bible reading, and would you like prayer? And she said, yes. So I read to her Psalm 23. And when I quoted the last verse to her, surety, goodness, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I said, Barb, is that your desire to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever? And she said, yes, it is. And after about 5 or 6 visits, I led her to the Lord through Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far they removed our transgressions from us. Barb, would you like God to remove your sins? Yes. She prayed that day in whisper. I had to be right beside her. She trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. The first words that she said when she opened her eyes, I want Sydney to get saved. I want my husband to get saved. God is faithful. God is faithful. I phoned a man who was a full-time worker for years in Canada, and he was very near the end of his journey. Who was waiting for his promotion. And I phoned his wife. He couldn't talk anymore. I phoned his wife. And I said, Doreen, yes? Would you tell Lawrence that one of his Sunday school children just got saved today? 70 years old. She told Lawrence, and apparently tears come down his face. There's so many people that we share with, and we never see the results of it. Most of you know from my testimony last time I was here that over a year ago, I went through a very, very difficult time of depression. And one of the things that comes over you when you're depressed is that you feel useless. You feel unworthy. You feel you have no value. And when we went back to the mission field, I was willing and ready to give up if it's where God didn't want me to be. And I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want me here, use me, please. I'm willing. What's left to be is yours. And Gwen and I were driving home just the first week after we were there. And we were going down to our place. There's a series of windy hills. And a lot of people come out of a little village and they walk around the circle, 3 mile circle. And a fellow was walking around that I had known for over 20 years, had witnessed to him for over 20 years, and he stopped me. And he said, Garnet, I need some help. Are you here long term? And I said, as God leads. And he said, will you help me with scripture? I had studied with him for about 3 months. And Matt trusted Jesus Christ recently as his Lord and Savior. Under conviction about baptism, and has not set a date for it, but he said, Garnet, I want to get it done. So continue to pray for Matt. His wife's not saved. His children's not saved. His mother is saved and backslidden. His sister is saved and backslidden. 2 of his sisters saved and backslidden. A brother-in-law saved and backslidden. And we just got news yesterday, Gwen? Yeah. That all of those people who were backslidden showed up at a gospel meeting in our little community, and Matt was there. So I believe God is going to use that man to bring those back to Jesus Christ and to bring others to Jesus Christ. An old gospel preacher told me one time, I was complaining to him about someone arguing with me about the gospel. And he said, Garnet, he said, the only fish in the river that fights is the one that's hooked. So if you're sharing the gospel with someone and you're getting a negative response back, the Holy Spirit's got a hook in their heart. I'd asked you to pray for Demetria and Svetlana. They're friends of Roman and Yulia's, been friends for years. They too were separated for 4 years. They're back in the same house, but not in a marriage relationship. But God, I believe God is working. Recently at a baptism for one of Roman's daughters, Svetlana asked for a Bible that she could take home and begin reading. So we can rest assured that Satan will not give up easily on that couple. And I would ask you to pray diligently for this new couple, Demetria and Svetlana. And I just want to remind you today, as we close, the voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you as we look back, Father, and we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection, his command, Father, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Father, although there's much out there to hinder, we believe, Father, what Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Father, we thank you, we praise you, that, Father, we can give an account of the testimony of the power of the Word of God in people's lives. Father, may we go home today encouraged, challenged, Father, to share that message with other people, and, Father, just to look forward to what you will do, who you will save in the days to come. Thank you, Father, for our time together in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.